Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow it, boo. I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
What's up, y'all? I'm French the Bro host, sitting in with, for my brother who's in Aruba. Shout out to you. And I would like to welcome you to the Nixtape Podcast. This is episode 84. It's a weekly podcast where we cover the most intriguing Nix news of the week. Make sure to follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Nixtape. Also, be sure to check us out on our website at nixtape.com. And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button or the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show. And now the show. Can never get used to those solo intros, but this week there was a lot of stuff going on for the Knicks. Personally, for me, I went to one game. I'm gonna get into that later. I went out this week. You know, I'm coming outside a little more now that the weather's a little nice. So I was hoping my brother would have been in, but I forgot he was out of town on vacation on the beach, laid up somewhere. So we're gonna catch up next week. But outside of my week, the Knicks had probably one of the best weeks that I remember in recent years. A lot was on the line for this week. To close out the season, we had our final five games. People were thinking that it was going to be a tough run. We had to face the Milwaukee Bucks, who were at the time the number two seed in the Eastern Conference. We had three games against Chicago. Two games against Chicago in the final five. And we had to face the Boston Celtics, who's the number one seed, and also the Brooklyn Nets. And then close the game out, like I said, on the second Chicago game. So there was a lot of skepticism on how the season was going to end. People thought that the Knicks could have fell to the play-in, to the sixth seed, could have fell to the eighth seed, possibly. And if you already know what happened, you already know how that went. So we're just going to get into it now. To top it off, the first game, Knicks went to Milwaukee. They played with fire from the opening tip, played some tough defense, so much so that Chris Middleton got his tooth knocked out and was out for the remainder of the game. He had to go and visit the dentist after the game. Brunson scored 43 points. Knicks surged in the second half to give Milwaukee their fourth consecutive loss. Jalen Brunson, he was averaging 37.2 in the five games against the Bucks this season. Doc Rivers, after the game, he couldn't have an explanation on how they could have stopped Jalen Brunson. He said that we have to figure it out. That's on me. That's on my staff and not on the players. So Jalen Brunson's out there giving fits for coaches, y'all. Long story short, the Knicks won this game 122-109. This was Brunson's ninth 40-point game of the season. And this put the Knicks in the sole possession of the third seed in the Eastern Conference at the time. And it being that this was Jalen Brunson's ninth 40-point game of the season, he had, I believe, tied Bernard King, who had 13 at that point in the season, and which was a record for he had third, and then Jalen Brunson passed in this game. My fault, y'all. I wrote this shit weird, but we're going to get straight into the next game because as exciting as that Milwaukee Bucks game, we got to get to one that was even more exciting later on in the week. So the Knicks went down to Chicago. They played at the United Center on April 9th. And Jalen Brunson went off for his second straight consecutive 40-point game, giving him his 10th so far this season. like I was just saying, he had third. He was third place all time in Knicks record for 40-point games, and he's still going on. There's still a few games left in the season, and to go in the very next game and get 40 points, making it his 10th of the season so far, that was just impressive. OG Anunoby also had a really impressive game. He was aggressive from the start, finished the game with 24 points. Josh Hart had a strong night, 17 points, 13 rebounds, 7 assists. So, you know, at this point, I'm already getting excited. Knicks won 2 straight games. We got 3 left. And 50 games is right there. It's right there for the taking. The Knicks is playing great. They're playing intense. Even though the Bulls were playing hard, they're not a plus 500 team, but they're in Chicago. They're at home. They played hard. They lost to the Knicks all season, and they just didn't want to lose another game. But there was nothing that they could do to stop Jalen Brunson. Josh Hart, he's on the rebounds. He's getting assists. He's on the break every time, beating the big man and just attacking the little guards that they have in the paint. So the Knicks are just a tough team to stop. I'm going to get straight into this next game, the Boston Celtics, because that's the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, best team in the NBA. That's the team that everyone says that the Knicks are going to lose to in the playoffs. No one has faith that the Celtics have any real rivals in the Eastern Conference. It's just going to be a cakewalk to the finals. So coming into this game in Boston, everyone just assumed that the Knicks would lose, despite the fact that the Celtics don't really have anything to play for. They played their full rotation, and this game was wrapped up in 3 quarters, y'all. Jalen Brunson had 39 points going into the fourth quarter. The Knicks were up by 31 points. The Celtics basically waved the white flag. They took all their starters out the game, had the third stringers playing for the fourth quarter, and they made a little comeback to make the score look a little more decent, but the Knicks won this game 118 to 109. It wasn't really close at any point in the second half until like the late fourth quarter where the G Leaguers, like I just said, made a little run. But the Knicks now have 48 wins, 2 below 50. So the remainder of the schedule, they're playing 2 teams, the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. 2 below 500 teams. So the take, it's right there for the taking. Going into Brooklyn, we're at Madison Square Garden. Brooklyn has been playing real good basketball lately. They've been 500 in their last 10 games. They're on a 2-game winning streak coming into this game. And they had no answer for Jalen Brunson either. He had 30 points, 11 assists after a slow start. Mikal Bridges seemed to be causing him a little bit of trouble. I'm sure that the years that they played together at Villanova, Mikal Bridges probably picked up a lot of Jalen's moves and knows how to guard him better than most people. So I wasn't surprised to see that he got off to a slow start, but Jalen Brunson figures it out, and he started diming guys, getting guys open. OG Anunoby scored all of his 15 points in the third quarter. He was like the main catalyst for the comeback, along with Jalen Brunson leading the way. Cam Thomas was like looking like a young Kobe Bryant out there on the Brooklyn Nets. They wanted to play spoiler so bad. Let me see how much he finished with it. I'm pretty sure he had like 40. Yeah, he had 41 points. A dude named Clown, he was playing pretty well, but they couldn't stop Jalen Brunson. And the Knicks pretty much packed this one up in the fourth quarter, 111 to 107, giving them their 49th win of the season. And I think Miles McBride and Isaiah Hartenstein didn't even play for this game. So headed into the final game of the season, I was in the building. I went to this game. As you can see on my wrist, I still got the little wristbands. I ain't taking these off. I'm going to explain why. But as you remember, I predicted 50 wins at the beginning of the season. I had to be in the building for this one. I had to see it happen. And this proved to be the most important game of the season, because at the moment they were at the third seed, but they could have still dropped to the fifth seed despite on how other games finished around the NBA. Other teams in the Eastern Conference were still playing. So A win meant that they could finish with the number two seed in the East. And I believe at halftime, after the games all pretty much ended around, across the league, it showed that if they lost, that they would be able to just stay at three. And the Bulls didn't have anything to play for at this game, regardless if they won or if they lost. They were going to stay in the same spot. They're going to be in the play-in, but you would think that they were playing for their lives because they played intense from the opening tips to the end. They had the lead for the most part of this game, and it took a late comeback in the fourth quarter for the Knicks to force this overtime. And there were fans. I'm in the building. Like, there was a little section of fans hoping that the Knicks would lose. It was a little weird, but I don't think the team is built that way. Jalen Brunson's not built that way. Tom Thibodeau, Josh Hart, they all wanted to close the season out strong. They wanted to finish with 50 wins. And in that overtime period, Jalen Brunson just took the lead. He finished the season with his 11th 40-point game, carrying the Knicks into the number two seed. Knicks win this game 120-119 in overtime. It came down to the final seconds. There was a bunch of loose passes getting tipped and a lot of turnovers, a lot of free throws. It was a mess. But the Knicks closed it, went the game out. Jalen Brunson had one of the best regular seasons in franchise history. Knicks are now a 50-win team. And after this game, all the praise was being rained on Brunson. He's now being recognized as a top five MVP candidate. He's in consideration for first-team All-NBA. He became an All-Star this season, and he's the best player on the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't know how many times I got to say that, because it's just hard to believe after all these years that we had as Knicks fans, where the Knicks had 17 wins in multiple seasons and didn't have nothing to show for it. Now they got one of the best players in the NBA, and it's a lot to behold. The season seems like it's a little bit too good to be true, to be honest, but there's still work to be done. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these playoffs go, because I think there's a good run left in this team. So, and a few random facts now that the NBA season is over. Mike Groggins on Twitter, he says that the four teams in the NBA that finished top 10 in offense and on defense were the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Denver Nuggets, the New York Knicks, and I'm missing one team. My four. One second. And I said Nuggets, OKC, Knicks, and Boston Celtics. My four, y'all. Each of these teams are the number one and number two seed in each conference. I don't think that's a mistake. I would expect this to be at least two or three of these teams to be in the conference finals. And it just goes to show all the work that Tom Thibodeau has put in with his team. He's been coaching his team up all year. They've been playing some of the best defense that I've seen throughout this season. Jalen Brunson has been having one of the most incredible seasons I've seen from a Knick. It's the most incredible season I've seen from a Knick ever. It's crazy to witness. I'm not gonna lie, because we've beaten every team at least once, if I'm not mistaken, and the best teams the Knicks have beaten in incredible fashion. The Sixers, who we may face in the first round, it's either Philadelphia or Miami, based on the game on Wednesday, and the Knicks had no trouble beating both of these teams a few times this season, so I'm not really concerned about who we match up with. I love the fact that they went for the win to get them the two seed, no matter who they were going to face off against, because it looked like the Milwaukee Bucks were a little nervous. They wanted to not rest Giannis, because he did get injured, but they wanted to drop to three so that they didn't have to face either Miami or Philly. Because now that Philly has Joel Embiid back and they've been playing good, a lot of teams are scared to face them in the first round because they don't want to get upset. But the Knicks had no problem beating Embiid. the first time they faced off against him earlier this year. They won that game in incredible fashion, too. The Knicks have beaten Miami Heat in the in-season tournament, giving them one of their best comebacks from, like, 20 points at least to win that game. And I just don't really fear any team in the Eastern Conference, to be honest with you. I'm not even afraid of Boston. I'm looking forward to seeing how these teams are going to match up, how they're going to try and stop Jalen Brunson, because no team has been successful at that all year. I want to see how teams are going to strategize to make OG Anunoby a non-factor, because I haven't seen that yet. He's had a positive impact in every single game that he's been on the court for the New York Knicks. I just don't see how a team that's this well structured fails in a postseason, to be honest with you. I don't want to give any bold predictions, but I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to be the team that eliminates the Knicks, because, like I said, with this wristband right here, I was at the game for the final win of the season, and I'm not taking this wristband on until the Knicks get eliminated. So we're going to keep that a record for the future episodes. I don't predict I'm ripping this wristband off. What you think, Steve? You think I'm going to take this off? I don't think so either. It's going to be on for a little while. It might stay on until next season. I'm going to give that prediction, but I don't want to get too crazy. After this game, the other stuff around the NBA that was going kind of crazy, there were so many outcomes that could have went based on the teams that won, based on the teams that lost. The Magic beat the Bucks. That's what freed the Knicks up for the second seed and what dropped Milwaukee from the second seed to the third. The Bucks end the season 49-33, tied with the Cavaliers. Magic ended up at the fourth seed, and no, they ended up at the fifth seed, and Cleveland ended up at the fourth seed. So they're going to match up in the first round, and I believe the Knicks face whoever wins that round. So it looks like a clear path to the Eastern Conference Finals to me, personally. I don't fear Orlando. I don't fear Indiana. I don't fear Cleveland. I really just want to see who we match up with after Wednesday, because I kind of want payback on Miami after they eliminated us last year. This team is much better. This team is much more poised, much more professional. All the young guys that didn't really know what to do in the playoffs, I don't think we're going to have that problem this year. But let me get back to the other stuff that happened around the NBA. The Cavaliers lost to the 21-61 Hornets. It looked like they was also trying to drop because they didn't want to match up with either Miami or any of these teams at the bottom of the play-in who have proved to be a problem in the previous seasons, especially Miami. Last year, they went from the play-in to the NBA Finals, so Cleveland didn't want to match up with the wrong team and end up getting bounced out in the first round again. But the Pacers beat the Hawks. Sixers beat the Nets. There was a lot of stuff going on around the NBA, like a lot of wins that you probably wouldn't expect. But I really wish my brother was here so I could ask him what his preference would be between Miami or Philly in the first round. I honestly can't give a preference, because actually I'll give you a preference. I think I'd rather have Miami for sure. Because if we beat Philly, it's not going to look good for Joel Embiid to request a trade and want to come to New York. So I'll take Miami. I'll take Miami. We get our payback, bounce them out in the first round, prove that they're not a threat this year. And it's a clear runway to the finals, if you ask me, after that. So I don't know. I told you this wasn't going to be a quick episode, but I pretty much lied because I ain't really got much else to say. My brother normally always have an argument for me, so next week's episode, we're going to definitely get into that playoff matchup. We're going to see who the Knicks are going to face off against. We're also going to go into every other matchup that should be exciting. Let me just name a few to start off, because I think whoever wins the play-in on Tuesday, yeah, it's going to be the eighth seed. So it could be The Lakers going against Denver again in the first round, that would be an interesting series because those two teams were in the conference finals last year in the West. And Boston and could be Miami in the first round, which was also another Eastern Conference finals matchup. So that would just be an interesting matchup to dive in. But we're going to get into all of them next year next week when we know all the matchups, once the play-in's all wrapped up. The Knicks' first playoff game is going to be next Saturday. We'll find out who they're going to be matched up against on Wednesday, like I said. But until then, I'd like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace, y'all.
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Bro, wait, boo. I can't lose. Nah, I can't lose.